God brought us, and I thank him for how he drew us closer together. That way we were blessing, encouragement to one another on the end, as you can read in the book on chapter 13, praise the Lord. And also, if you have any comments, prayer requests, please feel free to call 318-305-6965. We also have Tuesday morning prayer meeting and Bible study at Pentecostals of Cottonport and Cottonport on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. If you would like to join in, the Lord's been giving us some really powerful words. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing. God is just so good all the time. He's awesome and he's worthy to be praised. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that your word take root, God, on good ground, and that there are ones who may ask, what must we do to be saved? All they have to do is repent, cry out to you, and repent of our sins, God. And you're right there waiting to forgive us. And I thank you and I praise you and I love you for your word, Father. Oh, God. Want to be ready when you call us, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
What an appropriate song before the message today. Hallelujah. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this word that you prepared for us today. We pray that you'll meet us in the text and then show us those things you desire us to see and more especially to live. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I want to commence at verse 8, recorded of these words. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and to the hearers and doers more especially. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Christ creates a change. Christ creates a change. When we look at this word, we go back to verse 1, it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 2 says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was a tax collector. Verse 3 says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Now, one of the things in this verse that I want to highlight is the fact that he says he wanted to see Jesus, who he was not just a term of appearance or seeing him in the flesh, but he really wanted to meet Jesus, to know Jesus, to have the experience of a one-on-one with Jesus. And so he met him as he purposed to do by preparing himself, going up, and you'll see this in the text, but his whole purpose gives vent and light to the fact that he made up in his mind that he wanted to meet this Jesus. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it does not matter who you are, where you've come from, what you've done, or whatever is your plot or lot in life, if you ever make up your mind to meet Jesus, he will be found. Look at the word, because I want you to see the Bible says, verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see who? Him, for he was to pass that way. No doubt Zacchaeus, listen at this, he is a rich man. He is a tax collector. He's a man used to having his own way, but yet he has discovered that in life, in spite of the fact that he is rich, in spite of the fact that he is a powerful and influential man, in spite of the fact that he has what most folk were looking for in the natural and as it relates to possessions and money, he knew that there was a greater need underneath his skin that money, prestige, position, or preeminence could not take care of. He knew that there was something far greater that his soul longed for that his situation had not provided for. And so one of the things that I love about Zacchaeus was is that he had made up in his mind he finally wanted a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. He had seen some of the greatest things in his land. He had been privileged to have and to see and to enjoy the finer things in life, but yet underneath his skin there was a void that money and substance and stuff just could not fulfill. But he made up in his mind. Nobody made up his mind for him. He made up in his mind that he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. In other words, he wasn't just looking for a healer. He wasn't just looking for a man who could work miracles. He was looking for the core value of what Jesus's purpose was on planet Earth. What was the purpose of this Jesus here on planet Earth? Why was it so important that there needed to be a personal encounter with him? Well, the end of the word that we read in your hearing says that Jesus came for the purpose of saving those who were lost. And this man, in his state of lostness, was drawn like a magnet to the Savior who could save him. Listen, I love this because one of the things that I think those who come into that serious saving knowledge of Jesus have is the desire to want to know him for who he is and not for just what he does. See, the Lord is really, frankly, tired of those who are just seeking him as a miracle worker. He was a miracle worker. We shouting all that. Because all we really want from him is a miracle. But we don't really want to know the master of the miracles.
He wants us to have a personal relationship with him. So in that and by that, we will have every need in our lives met by the master of our souls. And this man had the wherewithal, the means, the financial sovereignty, being sovereign, to be able to get those things in the natural, but his soul needed more. So listen at this, because I want you to see this word. The Bible says in verse 4 again, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He spoke around, which way is he headed? Which way is he going? And he got the root settled underneath the skin and ran before, because being a short man, little man of stature, he couldn't push his way and get in front of the crowd. So he ran further up the road, positioned himself in a tree where he got himself a ringside seat to see Jesus for himself. It was a view that would lead to victory in his life. He got in the sycamore tree and he just waited on the Lord, because the record was he was to pass that way. And so you've got to get to the point where you've got to position yourself to where you desire to meet with the Lord, even if you have to wait on him. Because truth of the matter is, he's already been waiting on you. And so he gets himself in position, and the crowd is following him like a parade. And they finally get to the place where he is. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, knew his name, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Man, could you imagine what Zacchaeus experienced? First of all, he knew my name. Do y'all know we really are something about our names? Because sometimes, listen, you, it's all right to know somebody, but doesn't it feel good when that somebody knows you? You know, I've had members, hey, sister, what's my name? And I'll be honest with you, I'll say, well, I'm not real sure. I know the face, and I want to say, you know, if you were a little more active and you were more involved, I know your name, but I don't know. Tell me what your name is again. And they'll tell me, and I make it a habit to remember that name, more so because people are something about their name. God is something about his name. And look at Jesus when he knows what Zacchaeus has already done in order to meet him. Jesus comes to the place, looks up, and sees Zacchaeus. Listen at this. Do you know when you want to meet Jesus, he'll stop what he's doing to meet you? Just be serious enough. Just be sincere enough. Just desire to want to see him. Not what he can do, but him. And he'll stop what he's doing to meet with you. He stops the parade. Didn't do that for nobody else. But Zacchaeus drew his attention because Zacchaeus was operating in faith. And so when he gets to that place, he calls him by his name. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down out that tree. He gives him a personal invitation to join him. And then Jesus takes the liberty to invite himself to his house. See, first of all, what Jesus knew was that I've got something that you need. And I want to show you that I want you to have it. And listen, he moves it from a public forum to a personal and private retreat. See, what I love about the Lord is you might have to shout out in the public, Lord, I need you. But before you have to tell him everything that you have to tell him, he can move it to a private arena where you can tell him all you got to tell him and nobody has to know. But when you really meet Jesus and you really want to change, something happens when your faith connects with the Lord Jesus Christ. That there's something now that's different than it was before. And I want you to note four things that happened to Zacchaeus as a result of him meeting Jesus for himself. First thing is, he became pious. Listen at this. He became righteous and pious, and he became sincere about seeking God and knowing him through Jesus Christ. For look at what the word says. It says, verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus has invited me to stand with him. And then after he invites me to stand with him, he invites himself to sup with me. He receives him joyfully. Because Jesus took out time in a religious context that those who were religious didn't think Jesus would. See, one of the reasons why this bothered the Jews, why this bothered the people who were supposed to be the religious community, is the fact that Jesus did not invite himself to any of their homes. This bothered them because Jesus didn't stop his parade for none of them. This bothered them because this man was a man who dealt in riches the wrong way by charging folk more than they should have paid and using unfair weights and balances and taking money that was not rightfully his, and he got his state of richness through ill-gotten gains, and they know he didn't do anything righteous to be in the place or the position he was in, and yet Jesus takes out time to have fellowship with him. You can say what you want. It'll touch you when you think you all of that. And he chooses to fellowship with somebody you don't even speak to. When you have looked down on them, twisted your nose at them, act like they were less than human, and Jesus stops his parade and invites this man to have fellowship with him, and then says, I got to come to your house, man. Because what I have for you is more than just for you. And I want you to understand this. The Bible says in verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, you know they got mad because the Lord didn't take out time to make over them. Listen at this. Because they didn't take out time to make out over him. Y'all missed that. I can tell by your response you missed that. See, this man took out time, and he made it his business to set himself up to see Jesus. He acted on faith. He acted with expectation. He expected that he was going to get closer to Jesus this day if he had to run up ahead and climb up in a tree and get his position and wait till the Lord passed by. He was going to see Jesus this day. And Jesus, by faith, knew this. And Jesus made it clear that you went through all of this trouble to see me, then I'm going to go through all of this trouble to be with you. And that's what I love about the Lord. He doesn't take recommendations from the religious community about who he should fellowship with. You know, no doubt some of the priests got mad because he didn't come over to the rectory for dinner. You know, maybe the chairman of this committee, chairman of that committee, maybe some of the finer women in the church would have desired to have Jesus come in their home, bless their home with his presence. But he made it clear through the word, it's not the well who needs the physician. Listen, it is the sinner man who knows something is missing underneath my skin. It's not, listen, those who are righteous that need Jesus. You got it together, you don't need him. But it's for those who know I can't make it
without Jesus. It's for those who know, if the Lord were not on my side, where would I be? It's for those who know that Jesus has the best in store for me, and I want all that he has for my life. It's those who make Jesus the center and circumference of their desire that he comes to fellowship with. And they got mad. Jesus wasn't about performing and entertaining, being with the high-ups and the muck-the-mucks and the upper echelon and the big eyes and the folk who thought they were all. Jesus wasn't about all of that. Jesus wasn't about making them feel good about them when they couldn't even expect him to be a part of that fellowship in a way of looking to him as a true Lord and Savior of their lives. They were religious people. They weren't necessarily righteous people. And truth be told, if he had gone to any of their houses, he just would have been going to more glorified sinners. You catch that on your way home. They just had position. They just had been in the church longer. They were just doing church work. But they weren't really saved, and they weren't there, but they thought they were. And Jesus said, if you think you are, then you don't need me. I came to seek and to save that which were lost. And so if you're saying to me, you don't need the bread of life, that tells me you ain't hungry. That means if you don't want the water that I come to quench your thirst, that means you don't want the water of life. That's me. If you're locked out and don't want to come into the place where he grants us access and gives to us the best that God has, he is the door, then that means you don't need to come through me. And walking through the word, it makes clear that their position was they did not need Jesus. But Zacchaeus did. He became pious. He said, Lord. Now up until this time, Zacchaeus had no need for the Lord, no use for the Lord, used the Lord's name in vain. He rampled and trampled over the principles of God's word and as related to living and those commandments that he knew. He violated all those things. But when he came to the point where he wanted to meet the Lord for himself, he didn't use anybody else. He sacrificed himself. He put himself in position. And he humbled himself. And the record is, he joyfully received him. Listen at this. So when he became pious and called him Lord, it was already at that point when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. That was already a connection of spirit to spirit. Zacchaeus knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had not only seen him, but heard his prayer and received him. And so joyfully he comes down and he now connects with Jesus. And when he speaks to Jesus, he doesn't say Rabbi, Rabboni. He doesn't say teacher, master, but he says Lord. Because it is at this point, when he came down out of that tree, it was a symbol of his humility. It was a symbol of his surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a symbol that now the Lord Jesus was Lord of his life. And so now he felt a joy he had never experienced before. That's why when he received Jesus and Jesus received him, it was joy instantaneously, because all true joy emanates from Jesus. And that's why when we have a connection, if you ever notice that in your own life's experience, where the greatest joy ever comes up, bubbles up, is ever made real to you, is in connection with Jesus Christ. The very word rejoice itself lends itself to the fact that you rejoice, which means you revisit the place you first got your joy from. And that's why it's hard to rejoice without Jesus. I understand why some folk can't shout on Sunday, can't lift up holy, can't, ain't got no joy, because they've never really met Jesus. They've been religious. They've been a part of the church. Their name is on the membership roll, but they've not had a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. As a result of that, there is no joy underneath the skin.
And listen, two people out there in that whole parade had joy. Jesus and Zacchaeus. And I got news for you. When you and Jesus connect, it don't matter who's around you disconnected. This is what I love about Zacchaeus when he met Jesus. He wasn't even trying to stay in the old lifestyle. When he met Jesus, something on the inside showed up on the outside. And he wasn't ashamed to admit, I am not what I used to be. Just my encounter with you, there's a change that's come over me. Look at the word. I want you to see this, because not only one did he become pious, but two, he became generous. Because he says, first of all, in the conversation, let's look back and go back to the first part of it, if you will. The Bible says, again, verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood. Now look at this, because I want you to see this. It is upon the word, the will, and the way of God that all believers would go when they are connected with Jesus Christ, to stand in that he himself has given us the right to stand in, and that's his word, that is his will, and that is his way. And Zacchaeus stood in that. Jesus knew that he was ready to make a change. And the first thing he says in that 8th verse is, Lord, behold, Lord. And here comes the second part. He became generous. The half of my good. Now, is this the communication of a rich person without Jesus? See, money for most rich people without Jesus has become their God. And they ain't trying to share their God with nobody. They're trying to enlarge their God, and selfish are they about their God. So they aren't trying to give away nothing. So he starts off with Jesus. Listen at this. The crowd is all around. They're upset. His conversation and confession starts off right and immediately in the conversation and communication with Jesus. He says, Lord, acknowledging the fact that I am under your lordship, I've humbled myself. Listen to this. Not only have I humbled myself, but I've humbled my substance. I have made what's available to me available to you. I have now gotten a redesigned format of what my life should be, and it's very different from what it has been. So I want to just, I can't even wait till you get to my house. I want to tell you right here and right now, the first thing I'm going to do is give away half of my goods. My, that was shout news right there. Because what it said was that he recognized that what he trusted in before was not strong enough to keep his soul. What he's saying is what he did before was no longer his desire to do continuously. What he was saying was, even though I became rich by the ways I became rich, I'd rather give up richness if it meant not having you. So I will give half of my. But can I tell you, that's a good place to start with saying, God, I want to get it right. Now, the only reason why he's using these goods again as the reason for saying this to Jesus is because he recognized through his own conviction that this was the reason that separated him from Jesus. And see, what you've got to be willing to do when you meet Jesus is give up what has separated you from Jesus. And it was money, his richness, his desire. Listen, it wasn't money that was the root of all evil. It was his love of money that was the root of his evil. And so he started off by saying, listen, I'm going to slay this dragon by starting off giving half of my goods away. Now listen at this. The people around Jesus knew something was different. Because some of those people he defrauded. Some of them had an attitude with him and knew assuredly that Jesus wouldn't deal with him because he was an unrighteous man. And so they're listening to this conversation. And I might throw this out parenthetically as well, that those who claim to be well off had not done and would not do what this man offered to do. So he says that he'll give half of his goods. And listen at this. He didn't say to the stock market. He didn't say to those who are doing well, to this, that, and the other, to people who can help me and bless me back. He says, I'm going to give it to folk I know can't help me. I'm going to give it to folk who really need it and are not in my circles. I'm going to give it to folk whose lives will really be blessed and otherwise would not have been blessed on this order unless I was moved to do what I'm doing.